Good morning, everyone. So I'm going to talk about key value provenance. So there have been many modern key value systems that have been built recently, Cassandra, Edgebase, MongoDB, and there are literally many more. So what are the key characteristics of these systems? The first key characteristic is that they are schemaless. So unlike traditional databases where you first define a schema and then all the data is conforms to that schema, there is no such thing as schema in a key value system. The second is that the data model is hierarchical. So there is not just like a table, but there are additional hierarchies involved. And the data storage itself is non-relational and denormalized. So you have lots of duplication across your keys. So all these, these are some of the unique characteristics, and these lead to unique provenance challenges. So the first challenge is that the data provenance is closely intertwined with the schema provenance. And I'll get into the detailed examples in subsequent slides. The next challenge is that you may want to collect provenance at different levels of the data model hierarchy. Then you may need to track relationships between different attributes for a row key, for example. And then because these key value systems are targeted to be saving data for really large amounts of data, you do want control, application level control, over what provenance to collect and what to ignore. So in order to ground this, I'm going to use an example application. So consider a patient information system which is using Cassandra as its backend key value data store. The main concepts of Cassandra are there is something called as a key space in which the entire data lives within a key space. And a key space may have multiple column families within it. And then so column family is similar to a table in database world. And then a column family can have multiple keys, and each key is may have multiple attributes with values for those attributes. So that's kind of the data model for Cassandra. And let's look at some of the challenges. So let's say you in this patient information system, you want to know what medications were prescribed to a patient over time. So to answer this question, you need to know, first of all, you need to know what were the values for the medication column, but at the same time, you also need to know when that column was added to the row key, because this is a schemaless, there is no schema, so you don't know that when this was added. You actually need to track that. So that is kind of the first thing, that the data provenance and schema provenance cannot be really separated out. The second question, you may want to know how given patient records in a column family, how have they changed over time? So for this, you need to track provenance at the column family level. You may need to want to know what medications were prescribed over time, like the previous question. And in this, you want to track provenance at a specific column level, how the values have changed for that particular column. Moving on, so now you may need to know, a patient visits a hospital, and for every visit, there is a different medication which is prescribed. So you may want to know what medication was prescribed on a particular visit. So basically, what you are doing is you want to track the medication and a patient visit, the date of the visit, those columns together as a unit. And then, sometimes you may want to just track provenance for certain keys and not others, or at certain level of hierarchy and not the detailed hierarchy. And you may want to dynamically enable or disable provenance collection. So to address these, what I've come up with is a key value provenance model. There are two main parts to the model. One is provenance policies, which basically specify within a key value system what resources you want to track the provenance for, and then the provenance queries, which enable you to query the provenance information that you have collected. And both of these are built using an abstraction which I call as resource expressions. So what is a resource expression? Basically, it identifies there can be different resources. So for Cassandra, there are key space, column family, specific column, or specific row. And a resource expression is basically a path expression to identify the resource in a hierarchy. And this is inspired from the XPath notation. So what are the, so provenance policies are expressed as the provenance operator and the resource expression. And the provenance operators that I'm currently supporting are those two. And so then here's an example. So here what this provenance policy will say that collect provenance for the data access provenance, which can be either a write or a read, for the patient whose ID or whose value I'm going to specify at runtime. So dollar value will mean that I'll specify, okay, just track provenance for this particular patient's data. And which data that I want to track is the medication column. So this is how you will kind of control what you want to track. So here's the main takeaway from this slide. I would like you to, so the data that is collected for each provenance operation. So for a write operation, for example, the things that I'm collecting as part of provenance are when was the access made, what was the type of the access, and who was the accessor, and the previous value before the value was changed by this particular write operation. So now, as far as provenance queries go, again, the definition is very similar to provenance policies. I support a query operator and a resource expression. And the operators are these four. So for example, all, if you specify all and a resource expression, like in the previous slide, whatever medication column I was tracking, if I specify that, then I'll get all the values of the medication that were there or got changed over time. Last will give me the last operation, last value, things like that. So now, as far as designing and implementation, these were the three questions that I faced. How to collect it, where to store it, and when to collect it. So as far as collecting the provenance go, the one thing which, so I can modify the key value system. The advantage is applications don't have to link with any other library. But if I go with a library-based approach, then the advantage is the same library can be interfaced with different key value systems. So I can actually collect provenance for not only Cassandra, but MongoDB or HBase or what have you. And the library can also be interfaced with different backend storage to actually store the collected provenance information. Now the concerns when to collect the provenance is I can collect it before the data action is performed, but the issue there was how to deal with action failure, what to do with that. If I collect it afterwards, after action is performed, there are two advantages. I don't have to worry about failures. Not only that, if there are other mechanisms like triggers which are available, I could have used those. Unfortunately, Cassandra currently doesn't support triggers, but I think some other systems do support triggers. And then there was another approach which was suggested by one of the anonymous reviewers was something to do like before and after. So before you collect the intent of what you want to change, and then afterwards you track the things have really changed, the success. As far as storing the provenance information, so in case of Cassandra, you can actually just collect it and store it in the log files. The problem is these will be distributed over many nodes, and in order to just query the information, you have to have the machinery to collect the data in one place or have distributed way of querying all the provenance information. So you could store it in relational databases, but if you are going with a design where you are modifying the key value system to collect the provenance, then interfacing that with the database can be an issue, can be just a tricky thing to do. Or you have the option of storing the data within the key value system itself. And the advantage that you get is all the data management and fault tolerance capabilities of these systems are available to you out of the box. So here's what I've done for collecting provenance for Cassandra. I have three different configurations, implemented three different things. So KVMPC is modified Cassandra with the provenance information stored in Cassandra. The second is a library-based implementation where the information is still stored in Cassandra. And then the third is a library with information stored in MySQL. And I am collecting provenance after a data access action has been performed. And the policy file of what to actually do provenance on, that is specified as a JVM argument when you start out the Cassandra server. For storing the information in Cassandra itself, what I've done is I define a column family called provenance, and the row keys in this column family are actually the resource expressions which are defined as within that policy file. So that forms the row key. Then the column names, I use the timestamps. And the reason I do that is you can, based on timestamps, you can do time series based queries on Cassandra to find out, okay, what was my last value or what was the initial value or some other, if you want to, I have the operator which does at a given timestamp version. So timestamps allow me to do those kind of queries. And the value itself is a concatenation of the who was the accessor, the type of access, read or write, and for a column, what was its value before it got changed. And for MySQL, I just defined a table with these as the columns. So, so after implementing this, I've done a really basic benchmarks on my this laptop which I am using here to find out how much overhead the provenance layer puts on Cassandra. And so I had no data in the system, no indexes or no caching, and these are kind of the things I'm seeing. So these are in milliseconds, and the implementation where key value provenance is implemented within Cassandra by modifying Cassandra is marginally better, but again, these are very early results, and I would take these with a grain of salt. Now, in order to find out how would this affect the work with real large-scale workload, what I did was took Yahoo's cloud serving benchmark and ran the KVMPC with these three different workloads. And again, there is some overhead, but these are again just to give you initial feel of how the system behaves under what are the initial results of this. Now, so currently what I'm working on is latency with real server grade machines. I want to measure throughput for large load and storage overheads, and then the system is available if you want to check it out. It's very rough code, but if someone is interested, pull requests are welcome. So, thank you.